If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
We show the world that the principles of God work because we obey them. You say, hold it, Pastor. I thought you were going to teach about warfare. I am. This is basic training. Whenever the military pulls a young man or a young woman into military service, what do? They take them away to basic training because you can't learn the principles of the military staying at home. So you got to go somewhere. Every time God called someone to great service, he called them away. Why? You can't learn God's principles and hold on to your own thoughts. Now, he may not take you away, you know, physically, but spiritually, he'll take you through something that causes you to rely on his word. And so he says, the husbandman, the farmer, if you will, that does work the field, he will be the first partaker of the fruits. So when you grow something, you're the first one that tastes it. You ever buy a sandwich or an Entenmann's cheese Danish? Service over. That's good. That's run down the street. Especially when you get them fresh. The cheese. Oh, my. And you bring it home and somebody cuts it before you. And you're saved. You feel, as the young people say, some kind of way. Then you ask. There's only two of you living in there. Who cut my cake? And you don't want to put labels on your stuff, but that's the one time you feel like you're using your church title. This belongs to Bishop. And you don't mind giving someone a piece of it, but you want to be first partaker of it. I made gingerbread one day, and when I took it out the oven, it was still hot, and I cut right into it right away because I knew I wanted to be the first partaker. I knew if I waited, somebody else was going to be led by the Lord to cut into my gingerbread. So I cut into it first, and I... first partaker, why? You just had that. So Paul says the person who does the work should be the first partaker. You that are going through experiencing the keeping power of God, you should be the first partaker of his blessings. He's sitting there wanting to bless you, and yet we don't want it because we're stuck walking around that mountain enjoying mediocrity. We dare not move to excellence because excellence requires risk. Whew. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, listen to what he says. Verse 1, let as many servants that are as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So now he's talking to people about their work ethic. The Christian should be the person that has the least number of transgressions at the job. The Christian should have an attendance record that is close to perfect. They should have very few, if any, disciplinary write-ups. They should have no insubordination. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. Who you think you talking to? You don't know me, I'll cut you. That's an inappropriate use of the sword of the spirit. So he says, let as many servants that are under the yoke. Now he's saying this to slaves that have come to Christ, count their own masters worthy of all honor. So if he's saying this to people that are forced, how much more do those of us who voluntarily work? So how must you treat your employer? You're not working for that company. You're working for the Lord. Well, I just have a problem with being on time. Unless it's something for you. I need you here at 9 o'clock because I got a $75,000 check. If you're 1 minute late, you won't get it. You be sitting at that door at 8:30. Well, wait a minute now. Why is it that you can be on time if you're getting a $75,000 check, but you can't be on time for anything else? Ain't no future in it. There's no excuse for late. It's just an act of disrespect. Let's move on. I just can't get myself together. Again, depending upon what it's for. He says, you're to do this. Why? He keeps going. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So people ought to look at us and say, ooh, they are Christians. How do you know? They're on time. They're back at their desk at the end of break and the end of lunch. They're not standing around trying to win souls 15 minutes after lunch is over. You're not in full-time ministry. You have a job. Witness during your lunch hour. Don't eat. But when it's time to go back to work, don't be at your computer sending emails to folk that have nothing to do with the job, sending jokes all around and on the company time. We're paid for 8 hours a day, but how many of us really work 8 hours? He said, what's this got to do with warfare? Watch, I'm going to show you. He goes on and says, and those that have believing masters, he said, don't despise them because they are brethren. Boy, this is tougher now. If you work for a Christian, your work ethic ought to be even more impressive because you work for a Christian. He says, treat them as brothers. He said, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved. And they are partakers of the same benefits. In other words, if God has two children in a business, he's blessing both of them. Just simply respect each other. Stop the radical attitude of ain't nobody gonna tell me what I want to do. No, that's not true. You're gonna be told what to do from the day you're born till the day you die. That's what Jesus told Peter. Peter was such a prideful man that he could go anywhere he wanted, do anything he wanted to do. And Jesus said, the day is coming when people are gonna take you where you don't want to go. Every one of us in our lives, as we grow older, people are going to have you doing stuff you don't want to do. Especially doctors. You ever notice how you lose all of your modesty when you go to doctors? They just say, hey, put this on. It ain't nothing but a piece of newspaper. They don't even care. There ain't no opening in the back. I always flip mine. I ain't letting nobody look at me. You got machines. Put me under an x-ray. No, but we lose all. We let people do whatever they want to do to us if we think we're going to benefit from it. But when we come to church and the Spirit of God wants to dig in our heart, we got to go to the bathroom. God has an MRI like no other MRI you ever see. Amen. He says, these things, Timothy, teach and exhort. Now listen, if anyone teaches you otherwise, if anyone comes to you and says, don't listen to the boss, don't listen to the pastor, don't listen to the assistant pastors, don't listen to the directors, do whatever God tells you, here's what he says. He says, he is proud, verse 4, knows nothing, but goes around asking questions and bringing strife. He says, and out of that conversation comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. They are destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. Look what he says. The warfare starts with your human relationships. All spiritual warfare starts with some human telling you to do something that's violating the word of God. You ain't got to listen to them. I don't care what they say. Even God respects the authority that he created. God said the husband is the head of the wife, and the wife should submit to the husband. He reveals this in the book of Ephesians. Now, you may say, well, my husband is not followable. I just made up a word. My husband is not followable. Okay, maybe he isn't. But the Bible said submit to him unless there's abuse, you know, physical abuse and all that other stuff. That's different. But if he's not abusive, then you submit. Now watch this. Over in the book of Exodus, God says, if a husband hears a wife vow a vow, he can disallow the vow, and God will not hold the woman responsible. That means if you're standing in church with your wife, and the praise is going up. And I put up the sign that talks about the next phase of our building project. And she stands there and she feels overwhelmed by the Spirit. And she says, yes, Lord, I'm going to give $5,000 to the building. And the husband is standing there listening. And he'll turn and say, no, you won't. She should not say, I'm going to do it anyway. I ain't listening to no devil. She should say, okay. And God will not hold that against her. Even though she made the vow to God, God says, if your husband is not with you, then I'm not holding you accountable to it. But yet there are people who come into marriage sessions and tell people not to obey their husband. This is where the warfare starts. Please hear me. Every battlefield has somebody assigned to the troops called recon. Now, recon's job is to get information. That's all they're for. They have better survival skills because in the context of being recon, they have to assess, like Moses sent them in Numbers 13 and 14. He didn't send them to fight. He sent them to recon. And so when they came back with the negative message, it disheartened the rest of the troops. So the devil sends out recon. He says, let me see if your heart is ready to receive the word of God. So he gets into somebody's mind and tells them to perpetuate a lie. That's what Paul's talking about here. They begin to ask questions and make statements that are contrary to the word of God. Like, well, I don't care. Listen, if God told you to do it, you do it, no matter what anybody says. That's not biblical. And so if someone comes and does that, Paul says they usually will teach things that are contrary to the word of God. There has to be order. You can't have spiritual order in church and society if you don't have it in home. That's why Paul told Timothy, if somebody wants an episcopal title, if someone wants to be an overseer, he said, check their home life. If that man doesn't have a good relationship with his wife, if he does not know how to care for his children, he says he cannot run the church. How can we ordain you as a prophet when you don't know how to talk to your family? How are you going to tell me what thus saith the Lord and you ain't speaking to your family? You're walking around the house moping and not talking to each other, but yet you're going to serve in leadership. No, that's warfare. It's the devil's reconnaissance team looking for weaknesses. Satan cannot conquer your home until he divides. Jesus says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So the antithesis would be if the house is connected, praise God, it can stand.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH, TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.